So thank you, Randall, and thank you, Pastor Brian, and thank you all for giving me this opportunity to share God's words with you. We at Fraserlands Church bring you our greetings, and we miss them tremendously, but we know that they're blessing this church, and so we thank God for that. 20 years ago, when I went to China on one of my first missions, went to a village church, and they had no hymnals, and they sang that hymn, Come Thou Fount, for half an hour. One song in Chinese, half an hour. And that's how they memorize the lyrics. And so every time I hear it, and especially today with Amy's beautiful accompaniment, it just brings back a lot of great memories. Thank you. Okay, so that's on. Being called out is not fun. People criticize what you have said or done and publicly draws attention to it. Now, then again, famous politicians get called out a lot, and some don't really seem to care. Politicians get called out, celebrities, athletes, they get called out. What about apostles? In Acts 10, Peter had a dream from God that he can eat foods prohibited for Jews. And after converting Cornelius, Peter began eating with Gentiles. But then he stopped. So, in Galatians 2, Paul called Peter out for this hypocrisy. He says, when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. Because before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. I said to Peter in front of them all, you are a Jew. Yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? Wow. One apostle calling out another. There is, however, another sense of being called out. We all have been called out. God has called us out. He has called us out to be. He has called us out to be in four ways. We have been called out to be loved, to belong, to believe, and to be sent. They are not sequential in time, but each is crucial to the one above in this pyramid. Our foundational reality is that we have been called out to be loved. We are God's beloved children. This truth is emphasized in the beginning of many letters. In the New Living Translation, Romans begins with, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be His holy people. Ephesians begins with, God loved us and chose us to be holy. 1 Thessalonians, God loves you and have chosen you. And Jude begins with, to those who are called, beloved in God. Think for a moment and ask for yourself, where have you experienced love? That's my parents many years ago. Next year marks the 50th anniversary of our emigration from Hong Kong to Canada. 50 years ago, my parents left a comfortable way of life to Vancouver, basically for their children, for us, so that we can have a decent education. Then, I don't know how many people during the wedding day when they say, I do, really know what they're talking about. Nonetheless, for the last, I think next year also marks our 30th wedding anniversary. And I really have experienced love from my wife all these years for her patience and for her forgiveness. And lastly, our children. I don't know how you experience love from your children, but for us these days, simply having us in their Facebook and letting us see their kind of some of their friends and inviting us to their church to meet their friends, even though I embarrass them totally because I forget their names and so on, is actually a very practical way of expressing love. These are just examples of love from human beings, the imperfect fallen human beings. How much greater is God's perfect love of Christ's sacrifice on the cross for us and His ongoing love in our lives. In Ephesians 3, Paul prays that you, that we, being rooted and established in love, may grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. What he wants us to grasp is that actually, God's love is beyond measure. It is in fact unimaginable in height and depth and unfathomable in length and in breadth. God's love is also inseparable. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul in Romans here, is saying in Romans 8, is saying that nothing on earth or in heaven, no power or passage in time will change God's love for us. But it also means that there is nothing we can do to make God love us more. This unconditional love gives us courage to walk and fall, then get up and walk and yet fall again, but still keep walking every day with God by His grace. God has chosen to call us out in love to be His children. He chose us not because of our ancestry, whether Scottish, Chinese, or Canadian. It is not because of our abilities, our intelligence, accomplishments, or professional training. It is purely out of His mercy and grace. God chose. God called. John says, to all those who received Jesus, to all those who believed in His name, God gives the right to be His children. God has called us out to be His children. Do you hear that? To be or not to be? That is the question. Friends, do you hear God calling out to you to be His child this morning? If so, respond. Say yes. Yes, my Lord and my God, I want to be loved by You as Your child. And if that is your prayer this morning, let some of us know and we will pray with you. Knowing that we are loved stops us from being the elder son in the parable of the prodigal son. That son sees his father just as many people see God today as an unloving taskmaster. Instead of accepting his father's grace, that son demanded recognition and rewards. Instead of expressing gratitude, he denied being loved by his father. Salvation by grace cannot be earned. We are not loved because we are more deserving or more trustworthy. Knowing we are loved prevents us from being the foolish servant in Matthew's parable of the talents. Out of fear, that servant hid the coin given to him by the master, instead of putting it to use. He did not know his master. He did not trust the goodness of his master. Instead, he accused his master of being hard and difficult to please. That servant was also fearful of making mistakes or risking failures. Knowing that God loves us no matter what makes all the difference in the world. Not only in what we do, but why we do it. We respond from being loved, not from fear of punishment. Now, please read with me the sermon reference for today's sermon in 1 Peter chapters 2, verses 9 to 10. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out. We have been chosen to be loved. We have also been called out to belong. We have been called out to be a people belonging to God. God loves us as individuals. God may have called us out individually, But contrary to the individualism of our times, he has called us out into the universal church to which we belong. The Greek for having been called out consists of ek, meaning out, outside, and that's where you get words like ectopic pregnancy, outside of the womb, and kalosantos, meaning it comes from the root of kaleo, to call. And so the phrase, him who called you out, is ek kalosantos. And similarly, when Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, in Matthew 16, the word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, or ek and kaleo, the same two Greek roots. The word ekklesia initially referred to an assembly or gathering of people called together for political reasons. But the Greek Old Testament, known as the Septuagint, used the word ekklesia for the phrase people of God, because ekklesia became associated with religious gatherings. Now you have seen the root ekklesia, and that is why the word church has allusions to be the called out ones. Although some have argued against the idea of this in the meaning, most theologians feel that Matthew chose the word ekklesia precisely for its dual meanings and theological significance of gathering and being called out. In other words, the people of God are called out to gather into an assembly together, known as the church, the universal church and the local church. Lone Ranger Christians is an oxymoron. Belonging to the church is not an add-on option. We are called out into the church. We are saved into being a people. Now, recent evangelism focuses so much on these one-to-one relationship with God. We are like pins stuck to our pincushion God, barely touching each other. On the contrary, God puts us into a bag called the local church, and he tosses us around in it. Now, we're not all alike, nor always likable. Our diversity inevitably brings conflicts. Like rough stones, we say and do things roughly to each other. And we create friction when we rub each other the wrong way. Thankfully, God called us out, but he does not throw us out in the process. He called us out to community. A community is a group with common unity. What we have in common is the unity of the Spirit of Christ. A community also must commune with unity. And that is only possible when we submit to each other with humility. God uses us to polish each other in that bag from rough rocks into shiny stones that reflect the glory of Jesus. Jesus gave us a new command to love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, that is easier to say and much harder to practice. In fact, sometimes it can be easier to extend grace to strangers. Like Jesus would said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Yet, our deepest hurt comes from betrayal by people we love. Jesus commanded, forgive your brother 70 times 7. And we argue back, they ought to know better. And they call themselves Christians. In Ephesians 2, Paul says, for he himself is our peace, who had made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God. Paul was using the physical wall separating Jews and Gentiles in Herod's temple to describe the metaphoric wall between Jews and Gentiles as one people. So in Herod's days, the temple, that wall prevents any Gentiles from coming into the inner temple at the risk of death. And so Paul is using that as an example to say that wall between Jews and Gentiles is now destroyed. We are now one people. But are there walls within Westminster Bible Chapel? If you have walls between generations of young and old, tear them down by sharing stories with each other. If you have walls of cultural or language differences, make openings by sharing meals with each other. If you have walls of religious sacred cows, burn them off by accepting other perspectives. Grace, grace, and more grace. Ask God today, to whom within these walls do you need to exhibit grace in the coming weeks? Then do it. Pray for the Spirit to help you do it. Ask others to pray for you in doing it. Then continue for 70 times 7 weeks. Because we belong to each other. I pray that now and always, you are and will continue to be what Pastor Brian envisioned this in being a Bible-based community of grace. Now, it's hot. Stand with me. Please stand with me. Now stand on one leg. Now stand on one leg on your tiptoes. Hard. Hold each other's hands. It's a little bit easier, isn't it? Thank you. You can sit again. That's to wake anybody up who might be sleeping. You know, it is easier to stand when we're supporting each other. Now turn to the person next to you and say, God loves me, and so should you. Now, however, say, God loves you, and so shall I. We are family. We can unfriend someone in Facebook, but you cannot choose God's family. We belong to God's people. We belong to each other as friends and family. And when we know we are loved, when we know how we belong together in community, we can become who we are. We become by believing. We have been called out to believe. To believe what? 1 Peter again says, we are a holy nation, a people called out of darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. God has called us out from darkness into the light to be children of light. We are a holy nation, chosen and called out of darkness. We have been called out of the darkness of disobedience to God in our will, the darkness of deceit by Satan in our minds, and the darkness of despair within our hearts into the light of truth. Believing means to come out of that darkness from which we have been called out. James says, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. In other words, believing is not simply agreeing with correct Christian doctrines and dogma. Coming out of darkness involves the transformation of our character and behavior to reflect our values and beliefs as disciples of Jesus. Not all people who do good are good, but no one who are good do not do good. Being comes before doing, but there's no alternative to being obedient to the Spirit in action for our character to be changed. And change needs practice. Many Asians hear the word practice and memories of boring childhood piano practices come to mind. Practices, scales, triads, and arpeggios are generally not gratifying. Practices bring out all the mistakes, and new and different ones when we correct the previous ones. Yet, in the end, we could play the piece well because we had practiced by repetition. The kinetic memory becomes our second nature. Then on to the next piece, and the whole process starts again. So it is with our character. As we practice being patient, forgiving, gentle, kind, and loving, all of these qualities become more part of us. One flaw, one trait, one day at a time, we become transformed. I have never watched Oprah, but to quote her, you become what you believe. Believing means becoming. As we believe, we become who we already are. Now, if that sounds familiar, and I hope so, because I know that Pastor Brian preached on that a few weeks ago. Believing and becoming is a lifelong process. How long does it take to become a doctor after high school? For most, it's 4 years of undergrad, 4 years of medical school, and another 2, 5, or even 8 years of residency becomes a doctor, becomes fully trained. But all that time, especially early on, we would be addressed as Dr. So-and-so. And sometimes we would have to explain, I'm just an intern. The real doctor will see you soon. We were becoming the doctor that we were already accepted and recognized to be. Believing as a follower of Jesus takes more than 10 or 15 years. It takes a lifetime of learning to be a disciple of Jesus, because we will never reach perfection in this life. The beauty in our becoming also comes from our belonging. Except for a few doctrinal essentials, we can be quite different in what we believe and how we do things. Yet, our unique personalities, our idiosyncrasies, and our gifts and passions are fitted together by God to become one blessed building, belonging together, called the church. Now, if we were all the same, that uniformity would be as boring as this modernist piece of architecture. Instead, we display the glory of God in our harmony within diversity, like this beautiful Oslo Opera House that Anita and I had the privilege of visiting a few years ago. It's a beautiful building of glass and steel and wood and stone. What else are we called out to be? Beloved, yes. Belong, definitely. Believe, absolutely. We are also called out to be sent. We are sent out into the world, but not out of obligation, as an outpouring of being loved. We are sent out not as outstanding individuals, but as one people, belonging and supporting each other. And we are sent out not to outreach to others with our self-perceived ideas of truth, but in the outworking of our beliefs of Jesus. The Gospel of John tells us, Jesus was sent by the Father who loves him. Out of love for his Father, Jesus obeys. What was Jesus sent out to do? He did much more than just dying on the cross for us. In the world, he intentionally walked through Samaria to call out the woman at the well. He called out to Zacchaeus on the tree. He taught Nicodemus at night. Jesus' ministry took place anywhere, for anyone, at any time. And Matthew 4:23 and 9:35 bracket the mighty words and works of Jesus that's contained within in Matthew chapters 5 to 9. And that phrase was, Jesus went teaching, preaching, and healing. Jesus taught through parables, questions, sermons, and by personal examples. He preached repentance and obedience, and he healed people physically and spiritually, as a foretaste of shalom in the coming new heaven and new earth. What about us? We have been sent, but where is our world? Where are we being sent to? What are we supposed to do? The word for sending in Latin is missio. And that is why we associate being sent with going on missions. As I mentioned, I've gone on missions, on medical missions to China a few times. And more recently, I've gone to cities like Xiamen on the coast, next to Taiwan, and Changchun, which is the northeast part of China. And we share medical knowledge, we teach, we give conferences with local nurses and doctors, and we provide dental care to psychiatric patients when no one else would. I spoke to university students about handling emergencies and the problems of suicide from stress for success. In these talks, I try to get them to ask for themselves questions about anchors and meanings in their lives. I cannot, and I do not, preach Jesus as the answer, because many of them don't even know what the question is. Now, this is one kind of mission, but what is the mission that we have all been called out to do? The command in the Great Commission is to make disciples. The great commandment is to love our neighbor. And 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, and he has called us out to bring and to be the message of reconciliation. We are Christ's ambassadors in the world. Yet, some are so afraid of the world, they would rather be taken out of it. This is our Vancouver General Emergency Response Team practicing personal protective equipment against Ebola. Now, that seemed like eons ago. Now we deal with Zika and other new threats. That's me in the top right there. In our days of terrorism, some people would try to engage only with Christians in Christian land so they won't be threatened or violated. They bypass Samaria to avoid spiritual or physical contamination. So in a world threatening us with violence and spiritual decay, they would say, "Beam me up, Scotty. This planet sucks." Then again, other Christians believe being sent into the world means to boldly go where no missionaries have gone before, or at least only to faraway places, suitably uncomfortable enough to serve God. Our ordinary lives here in the world of shopping malls and coffee shops just won't cut it for them. The late Mr. Spock would say both are illogical, because Jesus prayed that we would be in the world, but not of it. The world we are not of is the world of hollow human philosophies and principles controlled by the invisible powers and principalities of Satan. The world of darkness from which we have been called out. The world we're in, though, is this world of creation, suffering from our fallenness and waiting for liberation from decay, waiting for recreation in a new heaven and new earth. Where is our world? You know, for most of us, it is our workplace and our play space, our school, our church, our home. It is the movie theater and the community center. It is where we rest and dream, where we imagine and create. And our world is not just geographical spaces. It includes the World Wide Web, the world of virtual friends and twittering noises. In our world, we face divergent beliefs and competing big stories of the meanings of life. We are sent into that world, a world of pluralistic cultures. Cultures are the ongoing human activities attempting to make meanings of and for our environment. When we are sent out into the world, our world of everyday life, we will inescapably bump up against the cultures of our times, cultures of our mosaic society, of our neighbor who we may not know much about, or unfortunately sometimes don't seem to care much about either. It doesn't matter if we're at home or abroad. As someone once said, all missions are cross-cultural. We need to learn the language of these cultures. Our world, then, is here and everywhere. These poor Australian soldiers being sent off to faraway Europe had no idea of the hell of World War I facing them. This photo is a tragic reminder as we commemorate the 100th anniversary of the Battle of the Somme. It was one of the worst killing grounds on both sides in history. But we have not been sent out by some inept general or politician. We have been sent out by the authority and in the name of our Lord and our God. Abraham may not know his future when he was called out to leave Ur by faith. Moses did not know when he left Egypt. Paul did not know the course of his missionary journeys. But they all knew they can trust and obey the Almighty God for His presence, His protection, and His peace. They are examples in scriptures of the cloud of witnesses sent out by God ahead of us. And I'm sure you can think of others in history and in our times, including the missionaries you support. Being sent is messy business. More than 50 shades of gray and not black and white. Because we are fallen. Whatever we do will be imperfect. But God will show us how and where we too can go preaching, teaching, and healing. Fathers and mothers, you preach and teach and heal your children every day. Whatever our vocations, we are all called out to preach the message of reconciliation with God and with each other. We have been sent out to teach others through our lifestyles what it means to obey God as His disciples. And we have been sent out to heal our creation and our neighbors with practical acts of love. Would you trust and obey? So, as you reflect on today's sermon, let me ask you, are you a beloved child of God? If not, be one today. Do you belong to a community that is cross-bearing and self-sacrificing to bring grace to people around you? If not, get into a small group and start praying for opportunities to be channels of compassion for God. Are you becoming more Christ-like in your practice of your beliefs, as reflected in the fruit of the Spirit? If not, ask God to reveal one area in your life or one personality trait to start working on. Finally, do you know where and what have you been sent to? If not, look at your family, your neighborhood, your workplace, your church, and pray for specific people to whom you have been sent to connect in divine appointments. I know the Holy Spirit will draw you to one of these aspects of your faith as a challenge to change. Let me close with a quote from Henry Nguyen with one word added. We are not called out to save the world, to solve all problems and help all people. But we each have our own unique call in our families, in our work, in our world. We have to keep asking God to help us see clearly what our call is and to give us the strength to live out that call with trust. Then we will discover that our faithfulness to one small task is the most healing response to the illnesses of our time. Let us pray. Father, I pray that this morning you would comfort our hearts with your love and convict our minds that we are one people in community. Teach us how to love and support one another, and may we be channels of your grace, of reconciliation. Thank you for calling us out to be your children, your people, and your believers. Amen.